Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zacherson, New South Wales. All is peaceful in Australia. They're looking to celebrate Anzac Day, except for two of their colleagues, Great Eastern Browns. You will remember the Great Eastern Browns have enough venom in them to pretty much damage a company of soldiers. But two of them, Jeremy, this photograph, is this something that you've seen before, two Great Eastern Browns dueling?
Well, I have and I haven't, John. In all honesty, I've seen Great Eastern Brown snakes attacking each other. But what makes this so unique there, and this is in the northern suburbs of Adelaide. So this is actually in South Australia, and it's near a suburban area. So it's actually in a built-up area. But what makes this so unusual is those two Great Eastern Brown snakes have actually managed to wrap themselves around each other's body in such a way that I guess they look like a piece of rope, really, at some point there. But they've so tightly wound themselves around each other's body that when you see their heads coming together where they're trying to actually strike and basically one will try and kill the other, they're so close together that they can't get effectively the right angle to attack and strike each other. So you've actually seen a stalemate, which I don't think I've ever seen with two Great Eastern Brown snakes, because normally one of them dominates and effectively rips the other one to shreds, unfortunately, and that's the victor. But, John, this is a weird one. They must be so closely matched that when they got into that tussle, they really, neither one came out of it stronger than the other. And unfortunately for this story, we don't actually really have an ending except to say that the tradespeople who took this video believe that they both eventually disappeared, but we don't know which one won. So I'm kind of hanging on the edge of my seat to see if there are other videos out there. But this was a very unusual one, John, just from the point of view that you had two very strong, dominant Great Eastern Brown snakes in the same area, which is odd in itself because brown snakes are territorial. So normally you'll only get one in an area and then you'll get one maybe 1 to 2 kilometers away. But for two to be right on top of each other like that to start with, very, very weird. So this was unusual behavior. But you know what? It is Australia. We have some strange snakes. And this shows again that Great Eastern Brown snakes, they will really go at it if given the chance.
Yes. Now, venom. They're filled with venom enough to kill human beings. Does it kill themselves? In other words, do they bite themselves to death?
It's interesting. They don't seem to die from venom from their own attacks. And really, I think it's because when brown snakes attack, they tend to attack in such a ferocious way that they tend to tear the other snake apart. They create mortal wounds by effectively ripping into the skin, breaking the bones of the other snake, and doing, I guess, other fatal injuries other than venom. But I do know that the red-bellied black snakes, which are another snake that we do get, especially in South Australia, they can actually paralyze another red-bellied black snake and effectively then attack and kill it that way. So I dare say, John, the reality is that the venom of a Great Eastern Brown snake will kill another Great Eastern Brown snake, but it normally isn't around long enough during an attack to actually allow the venom to take place. So they really are ferocious and just try and, I guess, kinetically try to kill them. But it's true. They can kill 100 humans. So I dare say that a brown snake turning on another brown snake, if they allowed it to just die by venom, it would probably happen in the same manner that any human would.
This is South Australia, right? The beach in South Australia.
That's right. That's right. It was just north of the Adelaide Central Business District towards the beaches there. And it looks very much like the site where these two snakes are fighting. They've effectively built a road possibly, I guess, between two bits of bushland, and which is why these snakes may have come together. But it's another thing I think a lot of people don't realize, but Great Eastern Brown snakes tend to live near the beach because near the beach, there's a lot of spinifex, so low-lying shrubs. So this really, I guess you could say, cushioning-type grass, which feels actually quite nice in the snake body compared to some of the other scrub, which, because brown snakes being very sensitive, they don't like to feel a lot of prickles and a lot of, I guess, heavy foliage on their body. But the beaches around South Australia and even the beaches here in Sydney tend to have a lot of Great Eastern Browns because of the fact that it's actually very conducive for them to live. And also the sand itself can actually act as a warming and a cooling agent for these snakes. So I don't think it's any surprise we found two Great Eastern brown snakes on a work site that's relatively close to the beach. But again, John, honestly, that video, these things are nearly 6 foot long, both of them. So two probably fully grown male brown snakes in one small area. That's scary in itself. And I'm glad in some ways it's all the way over in South Australia and I'm all the way here in Sydney today.
Now we have an extremely happy story, though not finished yet. This is about Valerie, the missing pet on Kangaroo Island for, my memory is what, 500, more than 500 days. Valerie is a dachshund. You do not associate dachshunds with hunting in the wild. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard of a feral dachshund. Have you ever heard of such a thing, Jeremy?
No, John, this is a new one even for us Aussies. And yes, Valerie, the feral dachshund who's living on Kangaroo Island, which is just about 115 kilometres, so around about 60 miles south of Adelaide there in South Australia. Well, the good news is after what's now approaching 550 days of being in the wild, this little domesticated pet, she has been seen once again because there is now a real concerted effort to try and bring her in. So to go back to the beginning of this story, poor old Valerie, on a family holiday one day in Kangaroo Island 2 years ago, went missing. She got out of her crate and ran off into the wilderness. Her distraught owners had to leave her after a few days and just accepted the fact that poor old Valerie was probably not going to make it. Well, sure enough, over the 2 years, there had been some sightings of a strange animal out there. Some people thought it was actually a puma originally, and some people thought maybe it was a fox that didn't have a tail. But then photos started emerging, and sure enough, only about a month ago, people identified it correctly as a dachshund, a mini dachshund, which means it was Valerie after 500 days that actually seen Valerie still alive. So now all the farmers are rallying. Valerie's owners are now back on Kangaroo Island. Everybody is trying to coax her out of the wild and basically bring her back to her rightful owners. But Valerie is not quite having anything of it. So what we're starting to see, John, now day in and day out, is we're starting to see camera footage of Valerie at nighttime going into the traps and taking the food out and then heading straight back into the wild. And there's no mistaking, this is almost certainly Valerie because there's some light patches on her fur which match exactly Valerie based on the photos that the owners provided. So Valerie is being elusive, but the net is tightening. Valerie, I think, will be caught one day. And honestly, looking at the photos, for a miniature dachshund that was domesticated and had no experience in the wild, she's done incredibly well. She's looking incredibly healthy. But we just hope that eventually we'll be able to get her out of the wild and you know, get her back to her owners.
I have reason to think that I've misunderstood the dachshunds. This is an extremely capable dog. We have the picture of her getting the food out of the trap and not getting trapped. She knows what she's doing. Now we know how she's survived. She's raided traps for 2 years in the area. She's raided homesteads. She's clever, and she has no reason to come in. She's living wild. I wonder how she takes care of herself at night. She wouldn't sleep in the tree. Where would she sleep? What's out there? What's a predator out there that she'd have to worry about?
Oh, absolutely, John. It's there are foxes out there still, although most have been culled. There are still some out there. So other effectively dogs. There are kangaroos out there, which are quite aggressive towards dogs. They're probably the main two. There are certainly a lot of rabbits still on Kangaroo Island, which makes me think that Valerie's probably found herself a burrow at some point. But also, too, Kangaroo Island does have kind of like little cave systems, like little rocky ledges and some rocky outcrops, I guess you could say, where she could easily be climbing up and sleeping in some of those and keeping sheltered and out of the way of all these other predators quite easily. But it's funny you mentioned that, John, because that has been one of the biggest mysteries of this whole thing. And people have brought it up, including some of the conservationists on Kangaroo Island. The mystery is, where has Valerie been sleeping? So there's also a thought process, given she is so adept at getting food out of traps and basically living around, I guess you could say, homesteads and around people without really being detected, she may in fact have been living somewhere on somebody's farm, maybe in a back shed, and no one has been able to discover her because she's mobile enough and she knows how to hide during the daytime when there's people around. So this little dachshund is pretty stealthy, I think is what I'm saying. And how she's living, hopefully once they capture her, they'll be able to maybe figure out how she's done it, because that really is the biggest mystery in all of this. How is she surviving out there with all these other possible predators around her?
She doesn't look mangy. She doesn't look overwhelmed by tics. She doesn't look in any fashion starving. She doesn't act starving. The video I'm watching of her, she's checking out the environment. She smells the food, but she can't get at it. She won't go in the trap. This is one smart animal, Jeremy. I'm beginning to think that Australia needs a new mascot.
I think Valerie herself is probably going to get some kind of an award for her heroism, because she is literally becoming a local legend now. And the fact that she's making world news, she's turning up on a lot of international media, is just adding to the pure legendary status of this little duck. So now I can guarantee that once she is brought in, she'll probably be, you know, welcomed quite well, and there'll probably be some kind of government acknowledgement of what she's done, because she truly is a remarkable little duckson. And the fact that she is a domesticated pet and has achieved all these things, this is something us Aussies will never leave, will never forget about.
No, there's a statue coming. You know, in Central Park where you visited, there's that statue of Balto, the famous sled dog who led the rescue of Nome, Alaska from an epidemic. So I imagine Valerie will get a statue, maybe on Kangaroo Island, maybe on Adelaide. We're going to move to my cricket lesson of the week, and I'm comforted by the fact that this is a new one even on Jeremy. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Valerie and the wrestling Great Eastern Browns, they're far enough apart that Valerie doesn't have to worry. I'm John Batchelor.